I'm Denise.
She's a non-fiction editor. And I'm Louise.
She's a fiction editor. And together,
we're the Editing Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Editing Podcast. This week, we're chatting about editorial reports and whether you should provide them to your clients.
And if you're one of our Tier 2 Patreon supporters, you're going to have access to a bonus episode where Denise and I chat for an extra 25 minutes or so about how we personally approach editorial reporting, taking into account the types of clients we each edit for.
That's right. So, to get going, and for the benefit of any listeners who are relatively new to editorial work, let's start off with a definition of what an editorial report is.
That's a very good idea. So, an editorial report is a structured document that provides feedback on a manuscript or a piece of content and how you've gone about the process of editing it. And there should be goals that benefit the editor and the client.
Yeah, and so as editors, we're looking to create reports efficiently and demonstrate our editorial excellence, build trust and confidence so that our clients feel encouraged to come back to us for editing future projects.
Exactly. That trust issue is really huge, actually. And so for the client, the goal is to provide them with a comprehensive learning tool that's respectful, encouraging and supportive, and that provides a solutions-based review of their writing.
Yeah, and that way, they should end up with a professional analysis of their work so that they understand their strengths and their weaknesses, but also feel that we're there not to act as judge and jury, but as their support.
Exactly. That's back to that trust thing again, isn't it?
Yeah.
So reading that report should leave them in no doubt that we've got their backs.
Absolutely, yeah. Now, it is worth saying that not all clients will need a full-blown editorial report. If you're working for publishers, packagers, or other agencies who are used to dealing with editors and proofreaders, you won't usually be expected to provide these as part of the service you've been commissioned for. Yes, you'll probably provide a comprehensive style sheet, and you might well provide some detailed handover notes, but the goal isn't quite the same because you're not in that sort of coaching mode.
Yeah, that's right. So when we're working with indie authors, for example, we're dealing directly with the author and seeking to ensure that they understand the why of our edits. We're providing a learning tool. Mm. Whereas if we're dealing with the types of clients Denise just mentioned before, we're not trying to teach them. They already know what they want from the edit.
Yeah, that's right. They've already briefed us on exactly what's in scope for us. So yeah. I think the key here is to consider who you're working for and what they need, what's going to help them and what are they expecting.
Yeah. So if you're working for indie authors, for example, and then like me, you might want to make it clear on your services page that an extensive editorial report is part of the value you bring to the table.
Yeah, because that's huge. Yeah. Whereas when I'm working for publishers and agencies, I'm not going to be providing this unless I'm specifically asked to. And given that these can take time to produce, that would have to be built into the fee.
Yeah. So let's now look at what might be included in an editorial report. This will, to some degree, depend on whether you're working on fiction or non-fiction, although there's definitely crossover. Mm. With fiction, there could be feedback on big picture items like structure, narrative style, characterization, pacing, themes and plot effectiveness. And then at line level, you might be offering observations on wordcraft, drama, suspense, dialogue impact, layout, spelling, punctuation, rhythm and flow, stage direction, scene transition and exposition, that kind of stuff.
Oh, it's a lot, isn't it? And with non-fiction, there, of course, there's going to be some overlap. We'd likely be analysing structure, narrative style, voice and tone, pacing, themes, whether the book's goals are clear, whether the content is appropriate for the target audience, and the degree to which the arguments are well supported by evidence. We might also be commenting on the use of visual or supplementary materials like tables and charts and figures.
Yeah, and I think that we'd both agree that no editorial report is ever going to be identical, regardless of whether you're fiction or non-fiction or academic or legal. The feedback that one client receives and needs won't necessarily be what another one needs. And so even if we're starting by using a template, we're still going to be tailoring that information.
Oh, definitely, yeah. The key is to ensure that by the time the clients finish reading it, they feel supported and they understand why you've suggested revisions in certain places. That learning tool idea that we've already talked about.
Mm. So now let's look at how much time you should set aside for writing an editorial report And this really will depend on whether you're starting from scratch each time, I think.
Yeah, anyway. So I really like the template in your course, Louise. So we'll stick a link to that in the show notes. And for people like me who like writing but feel intimidated by a blank page, it just takes the fear out of it. And those templates, they really do save us loads of time because they allow us to focus on customising our report for our clients rather than starting afresh every single time.
Yeah, that's exactly it. For me, using a template has massively streamlined my work. And if you're working solely with indie authors, a report is always going to be part of the deal, I think. At least I think it should be.
Oh, definitely, yeah. But writing that report isn't something that we want to take 2 or 3 days, is it? We want to be able to create a really cracking report in a few hours, but it still has to be a great report.
Exactly. And templates mean we're not saving time in the wrong ways by excluding information. Instead, we're taking advantage of a process whereby we ensure that foundational content is already available and waiting to be modified in a way that helps the particular writer we're working with.
Yeah, that's so important, isn't it? Yeah. So let's focus now on the more sort of nitty-gritty elements of why we should create editorial reports for certain types of clients. So the first reason is that it provides clarity for the author. In other words, we're helping them understand the why behind our edits.
I think that's so important. Editing is supposed to be an exercise in saying, editing isn't supposed to be an exercise in saying, I know better.
Definitely.
Yeah. We've been hired to help and we should be able to explain why we've done something. And if we can't explain it, we perhaps shouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
But I also do think that editorial reports demonstrate our professionalism.
Yeah, I completely agree there. And in a world where editors are competing not just with each other, but also with generative AI, we really need to be able to show our credibility and value, not just on our websites, but actually in the work we do. And creating a polished, structured form of feedback really helps with this.
It really does. I think something else it does is help build a relationship that's based on constructive collaboration rather than correction, if you like. It shows that we're partners in this and that the editing process is one of dialogue. The report is part of that conversation.
That's so important. It's taken away from that idea of, you know, you're correcting things. It's throwback to, you know, your English teachers and stuff like that. And
yeah,
it's being marked. Exactly. Yeah. It's that collaborative idea is something I think for some authors is quite a revelation to them if they're, you know, for newer authors that it's not a transaction. And that kind of relationship, that collaborative approach is one that will then really support author growth because a really good report can help an author to see patterns in their writing habits. But it's also an opportunity where the editor might say, don't worry about this thing or that thing. I can do that bit for you.
Yeah, and that allows them then to focus on the bits that they really enjoy as a writer.
Mm.
There's one final reason for creating an editorial report, and it's that you're basically documenting the editing process.
Yeah.
So there's a record of what you did and why you did it, and that's helpful for authors and editors because there's a single space where that editorial journey has been mapped.
Yeah, basically it's something that you and the writer can both refer back to if necessary, even a few months later.
Yeah, yeah. So shall we wrap up with some tips for creating really great reports?
Yeah.
I think, if you said no.
About that,
I'm not sure what I was going to do if you said no. No, I'm going to go and have a cup of tea. So tip one is be respectful and encouraging, not critical. That way, we show respect for the people who've hired us. There's always a way to present a critique in a positive way.
Definitely. It's all about the language we use, isn't it?
Mm.
And following on from that then is tip two, is to use clear and plain language in the main. And by plain language, we mean language that your client will be comfortable with.
Yeah, I think that's quite important because the terms that we use, say, with a seasoned business writer who's been through the editorial process many times, and I'm just giving an example here, but let's say that person's really comfortable using publishing related language or business related language, that might be very different. They might interpret what's plain very differently to how we might be describing issues to an emerging novel writer who's being edited for the first time.
Yeah, yeah, that's really crucial there. Because one might think a term is jargon, while another might think it's just standard language. Mm. Yeah. So what we're saying is consider your client's needs and frame things accordingly.
Yeah, yeah. It's all about sort of like reading the room and acknowledging who your audience is.
Yeah.
So tip three is back up the points you make with examples from the manuscript. And don't forget about examples of good practice too, because that way you're reminding your client that they've already demonstrated how to do X or Y well.
Yeah, that's an important one, I think, yeah. So tip number four is offer solutions rather than just pinpointing problems. Because no one's going to feel like they've got value from money if all they receive from their reports is negative feedback. Our job as editors is to show our clients a way out of an issue and also highlight what they're doing well.
Yeah, yeah. And if we don't have a solution, then you have to ask, what's the point of hiring us? Editorial reports are the editor's chance to offer actionable feedback rather than just in-text comments, which can be incredibly cluttering when there's a lot of them. When we're working directly with authors, this is our chance to really support them.
Yeah, yeah. It's that collaborative, supportive approach, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they don't have to use your... If you come up with a suggested recast, no, they're not forced to use it.
No, but often that will be a springboard for them to think about it in a different way or approach something from a different angle. So as editors, we don't need to offer the solution, but just a solution that they may or may not take in whole or take in part or use it to go off at a tangent somewhere else. Yeah. So tip number five is make sure that the tone of your report matches the author's style and experience level. And that kind of fits with what we were saying about language as well. Try to tailor it so that it offers educational value beyond the manuscript you've been working on and instead supports the author's journey and their goals, whatever they might be.
Yeah, that's a good point. Again, collaboration. And tip six is be clear about the scope. In other words, which level of editing the report's addressing. So a developmental editor's report will focus probably more on big picture structural issues, although they might go micro too. Mm. And a line or copy editor's report will probably focus more on sentence level observations and solutions and perhaps just mention more briefly bigger picture things that they've noticed as a reader.
Yeah. That's it from us. We really hope you've enjoyed this episode. Don't forget that if you're one of our Tier 2 Patreon supporters, you can listen to a bonus episode in which we continue this conversation and chat about our personal experiences of editorial reporting.
Yeah, and thank you so much for supporting us just by listening. It's brilliant. Until next time, she's been Denise.
And she's been Louise. Join us again soon. Bye.
Bye.